Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11. We only read this at Christmas a lot of times, but we're going to read it tonight. I'll read down through verse 15. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15 says, And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse number 12 says, Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to preach tonight for a little bit on the thought of they didn't leave the same way they come. I think we all can say that we could leave now and not leave the same way that we've come. You can be seated. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here among your people. We thank you for the preacher friends that we have here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the people of God that have come under this tabernacle. We thank you for the good pastor here, Brother Bowman. God, I thank you for his friendship, his hospitality, his kindness, the spirit that he has with him. And Lord, how he preaches and what he stands for and believes in. Lord, I don't take it lightly to be standing where I am tonight. And God, I'm not here to entertain, as the Corbetts has said many times, and Lord, that's not my desire either. But Lord, my desire for the next few minutes is to make much of you and to lift your name up, and that when we leave here tonight, may we all leave here when this is all said and done a different way than when we come. May you have preeminence. May you touch every heart and life that's here. And that family that might be struggling. That married couple that might be wrestling with some issues. That Christian that may be bitter. That one that may be backslidden. That teenager that might be tampering with sin and things that they know that they ought not be messing with. And that Christian that may be drifting far away from God. Lord, may tonight be the night that when they leave a service, may it not be as the normal. But Lord, may we all leave here different than when we come. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A lot of times when we go to church or we go to a service, we go and we come one way, and a lot of times we leave the same way. Nothing ever seems sometimes to take place in our life. We get up and we sing our songs and the preacher preaches from the Word of God. And we have our specials and we do our normal thing. And let me stop and say this. We bash the church bulletins, and I don't have them. I have newsletters. I had to share that with Miss Nancy. She was picking on me a while ago. They sung a couple weeks ago at church. It was talking about my newsletter and calling it a bulletin. We don't have bulletins. No, we don't have them. But my church is about like your church and everybody else's. We don't need them. We already know the choir's going to sing two songs, two specials, and the preacher's going to preach a 30-minute sermon. We knock everybody out that's got a church bulletin, but yet we don't have them, but we've got them right here. We're just saving money on paper. That's all we're doing. And here the wise men, they did not leave the same way that they come. I want to deal with this story. I want you to notice, first of all, how these wise men came seeking the Lord. If you notice in verse 9, the Bible says, "And when they had heard the king, they departed. And all the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." These wise men, they came seeking the Lord. Now, I don't know why you came tonight. I don't know why you're here, but if you're here on a Tuesday night under an arbor, a camp meeting, I'd say we're all here probably for the main reason, and that is seeking the Lord. But too many times people come to church to see who's wearing what, who's got what, who's there, who's not there, who's got a new car, who ain't got a new car. I tell you, we'd be a whole lot better off if we had come to the house of the Lord and seek the Lord. That ought to be our motive. They came seeking the Lord, but I want you to notice in verse number 11, they came shouldering a load. In verse number 11 it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures..." Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with the Scripture and the history of this story, these wise men had been seeking the Lord and looking for His incarnation for nearly 2 years. And for 2 years they was trying to find the promise of God being fulfilled in their life. Let me stop and insert something right here. We get the poochy mouth and the money grubs when we can't find Him for a week or two. And we think we've got it bad when we go looking for God and we can't find Him when we want Him. These boys kept searching. And for 2 years they shouldered a load and carried their load and they did not give up. I don't know how much this gold weighed, but I do know that gold is heavy and frankincense and myrrh, and they carried extra luggage on their journey. There's a lot of people today that's quitting on God because they can't find God. And some of you here tonight, you're shouldering a load and it's heavy on you and you're looking for the day that you can lay it down at His feet. I'm telling you tonight, keep on searching and keep on looking. He's coming today, you'll find Him and you'll be able to get the load off your back. Number 3, they came seeking the Lord, they came shouldering a load, but they came stressed to the limit. If you'll notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, Herod talking to these wise men, he said, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." These wise men knew that Herod was lying, but they knew the king at that time was wanting Jesus, and he did not want him to worship him, but he wanted him to kill him. And they were stressed out saying, "Oh dear God, we've been looking for him. We've been traveling looking for Jesus." And by the way, that's like a lot of people in some churches. Hey, some people, they ain't come to worship him. All they try to do is kill the service. They don't want nobody enjoying him and getting excited about him. And it stresses everybody else out. And I am very much aware that stress is a very real thing. Can you imagine the stress of these wise men for nearly 2 years traveling through a desert-type terrain with rocks and sand and leaving their families and leaving their children and going to find Jesus, and they were stressed out and they were shouldering a load, but they kept on seeking the Lord. And thank God when they found Him, they left different than when they come. And if you and I wouldn't quit, and keep seeking Him and get rid of the stress and unshoulder our burdens, we too can leave a different way. Now, let me give you three quick things in the message, and I'm going to be done here in these verses. How was it that they left different than when they come? It's easy for me to get up here and say that they left different.
Yes, sir.
And I can get up here and preach and we can say, well, bless God, we all need to leave here different.
Yeah.
But what led up to them leaving different than when they come? Look in your Bible, and Dr. E's already ahead of me. That's what you get for having a doctor in the house. They know where you're going before you get there. Of course, when you've been preaching as long as he has, I guess that's what happens. I don't know. I heard about him a long time ago. Read about him in Fox's Books of Martyrs. He was preaching when Jesus was a little boy. Yeah. Wow, I don't know about you. And y'all don't know me from Adam's house, kid. I preached here one time last spring. Y'all don't know me and I don't know you. But I know this. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I'm tired of church being church. I'm tired of it always being the same way. I want God to do something and leave different than when I come. How did they leave different than when they come? You'll find the first one in verse number 11. They left different, or they left. They didn't leave the same way they come because they was worshiping. If you'll notice in verse number 11, it says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Friend, they'd been looking for him for a long time, and when they finally found him, they could not help but worship him and fall on their face prostrate before a sovereign God and the incarnation of the Son of Man. A God had been silent for 400 years and they was looking for the glory of God. And when they finally got in it, they began to worship him and adore him. I tell you why a lot of people don't leave our churches any different than when they come. It's because they ain't never got in on worship. They look at people funny when they raise a hand or get a little happy and say amen or shout a little bit. And the reason some of you ain't never left church any different is because you ain't never worshiped him. Some people say, well, I just don't know about all that emotional stuff. Well, I know we talk about the charismatics a lot. But listen, what is wrong with giving God glory? What's wrong with being a Christian? When we were lost and in the world, we'd go to a ball game or a beer joint. We lived it up and let everybody know we was a sinner. Oh, blessed be the name of God. We ought to worship Him. We're on the King's side. We're part of the royal family. We've been washed in the blood. And we ought to leave a different way. One of the hardest things as a pastor is to be pastoring people and you never see them worship. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's two kinds of people in the church that unnerve me. There's two kinds of people that unnerve me. That's what happens up in North Carolina. One is the one that's always spiritual. They unnerve me. That one that don't never have a problem, never have a burden, never have a trial, and they always on the mountaintop, they make me nervous. The other one that bothers me is that one that ain't never spiritual. babbling that you don't ever see them in the altar. You don't ever see them excited about Jesus. You don't ever see them lifting a hand up in praise. That kind of person, they unnerve me. These guys left a different way because they had come to Him to worship. He was the focus of their worship. He was the reason they was there. And I don't know about you. I ain't here to see how pretty you are. I've come to worship Him and give Him glory and leave a different way. And I'll tell you why. I've been shoulder to load. These times I've been stressed to the limit. There's been times where I've been seeking the Lord and I can't find Him. A friend, when you do and you worship Him, there's something about being in the presence of God that does something and changes you, and you leave totally different. What promoted their worship? This found right here in verse number 11. What promoted their worship? They was worshiping and singing their gifts. The first gift is gold. Gold in your Bible speaks of His royalty. He's King. Let me tell you why they was worshiping Him. Before man had ever crowned Him King, those wise men had already seen Him as King when He was a little baby. Before He had ever solved a problem, before He had ever healed one of their pains, before He had ever raised a dead man, they already acknowledged Him as being King, and they worshiped Him. And the reason you and I ought to be worshiping tonight is because Jesus is the King. He's ruling. He's reigning. He's in control. He's King. Hallelujah. Yeah, He's King. Number two, the purpose of their worship is seen in their gifts. Gold speaks of His royalty. He's King. Frankincense speaks of His divinity. He's God. Why was they worshiping Him? Those guys there had it nailed down. They realized that He was more than just a man. He was the God-man. Friend, that's why you and I ought to be worshiping, is because a little over 2,000 years ago, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and believed on in the world, and received in the glory. He's God. He's every man. But He's very God. And we ought to worship God tonight for who He is. Number three, their worship is seen in their gifts. Gold speaks of His royalty. He's King. Frankincense speaks of His divinity. He's God. But myrrh speaks of His humanity. And that's His death. Frankincense and myrrh was put on the body of the Lord Jesus at His burial. And myrrh is symbolic to His humanity and His death. You want me to tell you what those guys was doing? They were showing the purpose of the Son of Man in the cradle. And His cradle was not to live for eternity on this earth, but His purpose was to live for 33 and a half years and please the Father and remove the curse of the law. And in doing that, He was the sacrificial lamb and was seen in the Old Testament. Thank God. He shed His blood for the remissions of sin, and they saw in the future the death of the Savior of the world. And why should you and I be worshiping tonight? I don't know if this is going to pound your pump or not, but Jesus died for you, and the Lord speaks of that. He sacrificed His life, and that's why we ought to worship. Done messed my boots up. Some of y'all men be glad of that, because if you seen my legs, you'd be jealous. And the sad part about it is that I'm getting ready, I'm going to scold us just a little bit. I'm going to tell you the sad part about what I just said. I could have got up here and talked about legalism and I can't stand it. I get up here and talk about religion and I can't stand it. I despise it. I can get up here and talk about homosexuals and I don't like it. I get up here and talk about politics and I don't like it. It makes me mad right now to think about what's going on in this country. And some of y'all shout me out and shout me down. And it's a shame and a disgrace and a spit in the face of God when a man of God can get up and start preaching about Jesus shed His blood and died for you. And you can hear crickets in the background. I'm telling you, God! We ought to worship Him because of His death. Because of His death. Because of His death. I tell you why. I believe sometimes His death don't bother us is because some of us has never been to Calvary. Friend, if you ever go to Calvary, if you ever see His beard pulled out of His face, if you ever see the Savior spit upon, if you ever see Him mock Him and cuss Him, if you see Him put a crown of thorns on His head, drive 9-inch stakes in His hands, stand that cross up and join Him to the ground, and sit there and make a mock out of Him, and stick a spear in His side, and out comes water mingled with blood, if you can say that that was not for me, and not worship, I can understand it. But if you are saved, born again, child of the living God, and can't worship because it should have been you, it should have been me, it should have been us, but we can leave a different way. And if we'd get back to the gospel, we'd be leaving church a whole lot different than when we come. I'm going to throw two more at you real quick and I'm going to get out of the way. They left different than they come. Number one, they was worshiping. But number two, it's found in verse number 12. Not only was they worshiping, but they was warned. And verse number 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream. That's why they didn't leave the same way they come. God had warned them, don't you go and leave the same way you come in this church. Don't you do it! And that's what God's telling you and I tonight. Oh, we're not here by happen chance. We're here by divine appointment. And God don't want you and us leaving the same way we come. Why is that? There's a herd in this world. He's out to kill what's in your life and to destroy the joy you've been looking for. He wants to do away with it. Herod, when you look at Herod, you can look at him in many ways. You can look at him as a type of the devil. But you can also look at him as a type of the flesh, king. King of their life. And see, whether you know it or not, we have two kings fighting for control in our life. We all have to deal with Herod. And Herod don't want nothing to do with Jesus. And Jesus don't want nothing to do with Herod. And if you'll notice, Jesus never went back to Jerusalem till Herod was done away with. Hello? Somebody said, well, why ain't I experiencing Jesus in my life? Run Herod off. Run Herod off. Let me tell you a couple things about Herod. Why was Herod wanting to kill Jesus so bad? Now, I found out today in reading that Jesus, at the time that the wise men got there, he was close to 2 years old. Because in verse number 8, Herod told the wise men, he said, go and search diligently. Now look at verse number 16. The Bible says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Herod, for 2 years, he was putting up with it and couldn't stand it. Why did he want Jesus dead? Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, he wanted Jesus dead because he didn't want to give up his position. Herod was king and he wanted to stay king. And he knew when Jesus come on the scene that them two kings couldn't get along. Now, I'm telling all of us tonight, the reason we better leave different than when we come is because your flesh is not wanting to give up the authority in your life and my life. It wants to be king. And I wanted all of us this evening, we better leave different than when we come. Number two, Herod didn't want to give up his position. But Herod did not want to give up his popularity. You see, once he was dethroned, he wouldn't be popular no more. And see, that's the way pride is. Pride likes being popular. Pride likes being on the show. Pride likes for everybody to see them. Pride likes to be the one that everybody's talking about how good they are. That's your flesh. Flesh likes being popular. You know what I'm talking about. Friend, you better leave different than when you come. And the only way you'll ever get rid of that prideful attitude is to run head out of your life, fall down at the feet of Jesus, and worship Him when you get here. Herod didn't want to give up his popularity, his position. Herod didn't want to give up his power. Herod had all the power, and he didn't want to let go of that. That's why he didn't want Jesus to stick around. And our flesh don't want to give up the power that it has. That's why the flesh is contradicting the Spirit all the time, and it's trying to run Jesus. I want to kill Jesus. Do away with it. And the shame is, so many of us, so many times, we'll find Herod being the ruler and having more power over our life more times than we do Jesus. They didn't leave the same way they come. They were worshiping. They didn't leave the same way they come. They were warned. But let me give you this lesson. I'm done. They didn't leave the same way they come because they was willing. Notice with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know what they did? They took God serious. And they were willing to let the Word of God change their direction. And the way that they was going in their life. My question is, how many of us in here tonight are going to be willing to leave this camp meeting this week different than when we come? The ones that leave different will be those that are willing to change. The problem with most of us is, boy, it's hard to get us to change. We like doing things the way we've always done.